Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 24th of April, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Bob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you all kinds of interesting and exciting news and stuff, and we'll start with Steve.
Well,
he's reading PC. What are you reading?
Home and Garden.
The Home and Garden magazine,
yeah.
Okay.
This past week was the National Association of Broadcasters out in Las Vegas. Big convention for all of the television and radio broadcasters to find their new programming and to find their new products and cool new
stuff. Definitely should have been there.
Stuff, mm-hmm. Yeah. And Apple used the event to introduce some new products. They introduced the new Final Cut HD, which is a video editing software that now does more into the high definition arena, extending on their previous Final Cut Professional, and they also released a couple of interesting companion programs in motion for doing motion animation, and a lot of really neat tools for extending into the production arena. As some of you might know, over the last several years, Apple has made really big inroads into Hollywood and television broadcasting with its Final Cut digital product. It used to be that it would cost you several million dollars for a television editing suite, and then about 15 years ago, the Avid workstation came out and could do it for $200,000, and that was a really, really big breakthrough in production. And actually brought production costs down so much so we could have even more shows being produced to fill up all those 500 cable channels that everyone keeps predicting. And then about 5 years ago, Apple released the Final Cut to allow basically a digital editing suite can now be had for $50,000. And most of that cost is the giant hard drives you need to store the movie. You know, the computer is only $3,000 or $4,000. So it's still a matter of storage space, several terabytes to store a feature-length movie. But movie producers like Steven Sonnenberg and Steven Spielberg and George Lucas have all said that they couldn't have done their latest movies, the Star Wars movies and whatnot, without having Apple and Final Cut. And to go along with the new software, Apple also completely revamped their laptop product line, increasing clock speeds and decreasing prices, upwards of $300 price breaks on several different models while raising the clock speed. So now the basic iBook G4 at 1.25 gigahertz is still $1,099. It's actually a really good time now to buy the last generation machine while they're still available. I think we have a few of the previous models left at our store. Just as soon as a new model comes out, the old model is dropping price. So it's if you don't need the absolute latest whiz bang, it's a great time to buy the previous generation machines. And now up at the high end on the PowerBook 17-inch running at 1.5 gigahertz with the Motorola G4 processor. They didn't announce the G5 laptops. That was one of the biggest rumors. IBM has started seeding development quantities of a laptop-type PowerPC G5 that uses less power, which is always the big thing on a laptop. But we don't expect to see G5 laptops until late at the end of the year to get enough development time in.
Right, right. Sounds like a whole new series of very cool toys.
Yep.
One of the students who works for me came in one morning and says, "Want to buy my laptop?" I said, "Why?" He said, "The new models are out." I said, "Wait a minute. This is like the top of the line yesterday."
Not anymore.
Right, right. Exactly. That was his point.
Yep.
It was the top of the line yesterday.
Well, and that's always the problem. We get that question asked all the time. When are the new models coming out? About a week after you buy yours.
That's how it works. It's always how it works.
So there's always going to be something better coming, and if you always wait, you're never going to get anything.
That's right. Might as well jump in and enjoy what you've got for the week you've got it.
And hopefully it won't just be a week.
Yeah, right. Probably that's what happens to me every time. The deal is wait until I buy a new computer and then like wait 2 weeks.
See,
this time it was the Apple Cider Users Group. We bought a new laptop 3 weeks ago.
Oh, so that's your fault then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I'm trying to record this show And I think it's gonna be ugly.
Yeah, I have to apologize to all our listeners for last week's show.
It's too loud now.
We've been so busy at our grand opening, I didn't get a chance to edit the audio file on the computer. And then today I brought my computer in to do the recording, but they had left the power cord out of the bag from the store. So
and the battery, of course, is dead.
Right, the battery's dead, yeah. So these last couple of weeks, the audio recordings are a little spotty, but if you've recorded last week's show or this week's show, let us know. Give us an email and send us the MP3 file if you can, and we'll get it in the archives in a nice clean format.
Yeah, I apologize. It's I think we're doing too much too quick at these days. But
little hectic now,
and we're not streaming today. Because I'm not sure I can stream. I didn't want to test on the air streaming and recording, and I figured recording was more important. So I'm recording, not streaming. We'll see what happens with that. Who knows? Anyway, Dave's got some stuff to talk about, and he'll be next.
Yeah, one thing that I ran into this past week, which I haven't heard of or even seen in all the times that XP has been out, but I had a client do an upgrade to Windows XP, and he currently had the Boston PA735 speaker system that comes with the gateways. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's got the subwoofer and everything else. And I thought they were dead because sound card and everything else said it was working fine. I hook up my cheap little speakers, just to test it out, and they work fine. This subwoofer's gone. Well, he wound up doing a little more investigating, and it turns out that there's a known issue that if you have the Boston PA735 speaker system on your gateway and you do a upgrade to Windows XP, they will no longer work.
How can software stop speakers from working?
Exactly. That's what, like I say, I
can see if it stopped the sound card from putting out a signal.
But, I mean, even the regular, my cheap speakers worked fine, sound, no problem. It was just that one particular brand. And you've got to go to the Gateway website and get the updated drivers, which will correct it. The other news out is HP just came out with a real nice DeskJet, 5150. And it's going for anywhere between $80 and, say, $120. And this sucker really cranks out, almost laser quality. I mean, even though it's an inkjet, it'll do 5.4 pages per minute for text and 1.4 pages per minute on graphics. So, I mean, they've really raised the bar a little bit here, and that's really pushing it out. And that's the HP 5150 if you're, in need of a new printer. You might want to check that model out.
I've become a proponent of having two printers. You can get a nice color printer for $100, but the ink will bleed you dry, pun intended.
Yeah.
And then you can get a nice laser printer for $150 to $200 to do all your black at a lower cost. Laser's 3 cents a page. Ink is 30 cents a page. Or if you do photo ink, it's $3 a page when you include the paper. So, getting a good color printer when you want color and then laser. Color lasers are getting really cheap now. $600, you can get a color laser.
Yeah. Well, but even so, the consumables are not cheap. But we had a big to do a couple of years ago at the College of Business. We had a faculty member who was printing to the color laser printer all the time at $1 a page because he wanted a blue border around his black text.
Yep. That's better than $3 a page on the inkjet.
Yes.
But not quite as good as 3 cents a page on the black and white.
Exactly.
Lexmar, as a matter of fact, Stan over Visual Horizons showed me his Lexmar printer over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the consumables on that, what you do is you open up the back tray where the paper comes out, you lift up this tray, and they look like pieces of a puzzle. They're little cubes.
Yep.
Oh, they're solid ink.
Yeah.
The Xerox Phaser series.
And you just drop those in. No muss, no fuss. And they're cheaper.
No muss and no fuss?
Yeah. No muss, no fuss.
Wow.
In fact, Xerox has got a couple of nice laser printers now with a linear toner path. The big thing on the really cheap laser printers is it's got a rotating carousel, so that's limited to 3 or 4 pages a minute. Xerox has their 8200 series, I think it is, with a linear path, so that you can get 30 pages a minute out of it. And if you're doing black only, it's still just as cheap as a black-only laser printer. But when you want to put that blue border around it, you're using your color toner, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. If you're a computer worker, a graphic designer, or a secretary or administrative assistant, you need to beware. There are new administrative assistants day this week. What?
It was administrative assistants day this week.
It was, but the our beloved government, Labor Secretary Elaine Chao, announced new rules Tuesday for paying people. If you make more than $450 a week in salary, you are not guaranteed overtime pay. The rules increase the amount of money workers can make and still be eligible for overtime. However, the rules also clarify the requirements for exempting white-collar workers from overtime. Computer employees, graphic designers, pretty much anybody who's doing... Let me see if I get this right. According to... The employees aren't guaranteed overtime pay if primary duties involve office or non-manual work, which means you are not guaranteed overtime pay if you make $450 a week or if your hourly rate is $27.63 or more. That's computer systems analysts, programmers, software engineers, anybody with a title like that. Administrative workers could also lose pay. Well, the government, of course, denies that these rules would cost millions of workers overtime pay. But I guess we'll see over time. The rules take effect in about 120 days. Our very own Senator Charles Schumer, who had previously spoken out against the overtime regulations, so the devil here will be in the details. It is unclear if Chao is backing off from her unfair overtime rules or just obfuscating them. Schumer said it could take several days to read through the rules and see how they will affect workers.
Well, and that's system administrators haven't been paid overtime in years. If you don't if you don't work 100 hours a week, you're considered lazy.
Well, that's exactly right. I can't tell you the number of hours. And then it's not just the number of hours you work. I'm a system administrator. I go home and work.
Yep.
I log in, I do stuff, I'm checking logs, I'm checking the systems, I'm doing things, I'm testing, I'm playing around in the system. And no, I'm not charging anybody for that, so I get, exempt employee. I get paid, I don't get paid hourly, I get a salary.
It's the privilege of working there.
Exactly right, I get no overtime anyway. The privilege, the joy, the thrill of system administration.
And all the BS that goes with it.
That's exactly right. And the interesting thing is...
But you're working on your MBA, though, right?
I am working on my MBA. Why wait till the last minute? Now's the time to get it. I'm in the middle of my second course. I am so stinking busy. Those of you who are wondering why I'm not in the forums, and I don't have any free time. Any free time at the moment. Holy mother of pearl.
It's that 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. that you just lost again, right?
That's exactly right. I had that time free. My family is more important than anything, so everything stops for them. Last night we went to see Ragtime at the School of the Arts. It was magnificent. And Tuesday we went to see 42nd Street. And it just absolutely blew me away. Phenomenal stuff.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that.
See, it's going to see stuff as good as Ragtime and 42nd Street to make me think, for just a couple of pennies to rub together, I'd chuck all this and go back to theater in a hot New York minute. That's absolutely true. At any rate, in the Microsoft news, Microsoft has the increasing popularity of open source software on the desktop will drive Microsoft to create better products in response, the software giant said on Wednesday. They said that the competition is good for the whole software industry and will lead to better products emerging from Redmond, Washington. The thing I like is that Microsoft does its best work and its most innovative when it has competition, so bring it on.
Don't they usually buy the competition?
Bring it on. Well, yeah, you can't buy Linux. Bring it on, they're saying. And so they're saying that, they haven't had any competition for the last number of years, so they've gotten fat and lazy, and that they're now prepared to be lean and mean, a lean, mean coding machine, and reclaim that other quarter of a percent that they've of the desktop they've lost to Linux. And that'll be part of our poll today. We'll talk about the poll in a little bit, but it seems interesting that I'll talk about it right now. Why not? We do a poll every week, and this week's poll is about that. The question is, will Linux force Microsoft to build a better OS? You can find that poll at our website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like to remind you. Already 78 of you have voted. And 60% of you seem to, 59% of you seem to think, yes, in fact, Linux will force Microsoft to build a better operating system. So head on over to our poll and vote. It's an interesting question. We'll see what the story is with that. This, unfortunately, to my way of thinking, now this could be good or bad, depending on whether you're a Microsoft fan or not. This reminds me of the original ad that Apple brought out when IBM first brought out the desktop PC.
Apple took out a full page ad
in the New York Times that said, "Welcome IBM, seriously."
Yep.
And we'll see what whether there's parallels to be found here. At any rate, I think it's probably time for us to do what, Rob? Go to the phones? Yeah, oh, we're going to the phones. Look at us. How cool are we? Wow, how cool are we? Well, I'll just take a nap then. There, you're good. You're good. Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen, he's good. Our first caller is Paul.
Who
from...
Who is that again?
Rob Linton, ladies and
Thank
gentlemen.
You.
Our first caller is Paul from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
My question is about RAM. I've been talking to various people, and I have an HP Pavilion desktop PC 514N, and I have installed currently the 256 megabytes of DDR RAM, which came with it, and it's PC 2100.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy in the store said that I could upgrade to PC 2700, and that it would revert to 2100. Now,
right, you're
throttled down.
You're paying more for something you don't need.
Right,
basically.
Well, actually, I'm installing another additional 256 megabytes of PC.
Mm-hmm.
20. I wanted to get 2100, but they don't have it. I can't.
Yeah,
find
it's getting
it.
Harder and harder to find. And if you can find it, you're going to pay a bigger price.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of times, the older memory is going up in price because they're not making it.
But
the newer memory usually will step down.
Yeah.
You have to be careful on some of the specifications.
Yeah,
it was $49. It was $49.99 with a rebate of $20. So if you guys want to go out to the sale, go to Best Buy. And if you're going to get memory, it's $20 off of a rebate.
Okay, that's
there
great. Thanks. Any other question?
Question is, how much of a difference in speed is it going to make since I'm getting the 2700 and I'm going to have a 2100 in there with it?
None.
None?
Yeah,
the 27
the same speed it's always
right.
Running.
The 2700 will drop down to a 2100 speed, and
but,
RAM doesn't control the speed of your computer anyway. It just lets you open bigger things.
Right. And the other question is, I take it you're running Windows XP
Home Edition, yes.
Yeah, you're going to see a little bit more better performance
because
you are upgrading it to from 256 to 512.
Right. If you had too little RAM in the first place, then more RAM will make it faster.
Yeah, and the thing, the issue was, I'm legally blind, and I have a program for all you guys who are legally blind. There's a program called Zoom Text Extra,
right?
And it involves speech and the requirements for version 8.10 says that you need 256 megabytes of RAM.
Right.
Hello, I've got 256 megabytes.
You've
of RAM.
Got 256 for the operating system. You need another 256 for the program.
JAWS is the same way.
Yeah.
JAWS demands a lot too because it's constantly sitting there monitoring. You know, if you're going to wind up moving around on the desktop, so that eats up a lot of resources. So that's why I usually start any of the machines that I build for a number of my clients using JAWS with at least 512.
Right.
Well, and for dang near anything these days, the more RAM you have, the better.
I
think you're on the right track here, Paul.
Yeah, thank you very much for your help.
Thank you so much. Our next caller is Bob from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Well, I've got a problem with viewing photographs on my desktop. I've got a message which says that the preview is not available, or I can't determine a type, and all I get is the icons on the screen. It was working, and now it's just disappeared, and it's gone from the medium also that I put in the camera.
If you double-click the picture file, will it open up and view?
It opens up and tells me no preview available.
Probably the file association. What do you know what program it's trying to open with?
I've tried all that I've got. I've tried Paint, MS, Microsoft Photo Editor, Windows Picture and Fax Viewer. I've tried all that I've got.
Well, and this used to work. What changed?
Now all I get is the icons on the
yeah,
on
but
the
I mean,
screen.
What changed in your system?
Software?
Did you add software, remove software?
The only thing
change
I
in
can
the camera.
the only thing that I can guess is that I took out the disk without whatever you're supposed to do, without telling the computer that I was removing it.
Oh, that's bad. What version of Windows are you running?
XP.
That's not good. Is the little disk that goes in the camera?
Yeah, the safely eject media command.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. That's
it may be that, particularly if the thing was open on the desktop, it's not impossible that what happened was the files were open and now they're scrambled. You don't have backups of them, huh?
Nope.
You might
other files open fine? Other files that you had saved on the disk previously?
Yep. They
are
all
fine. You might want to try uninstalling and reinstalling the software.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to do it.
That's probably the file.
It's that file association. He's got to delete that so it can recreate
But if the data was corrupted when the disk was improperly unmounted.
That's what we're saying. The only thing you might try is a product called IrfanView. 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 I don't know who IrfanView is, but IrfanView.
Mm-hmm.
It's at IrfanView.com. And it opens every single type of video, still picture that I have ever heard of in my entire life.
And it might be able to open enough of the picture to see. Mm-hmm. I've also read about, I think the name of it was Data Rescue, but a program that purports to be able to recover data off a damaged media card.
Spinrite might be able to also.
Maybe.
Right, and in terms of saving that card, you might try one of those programs, Spinrite, or one Steve mentioned.
Spinrite?
Yeah.
Spinrite, yeah.
Okay, so you're saying that the card, the media on the card is damaged?
Well, if you pulled it out while the files were open, particularly if you had the window open on the desktop, what you may find is that the files were all open and were not closed properly and therefore are corrupted, and one of these programs could...
If you don't care about the pictures on the card, you should be able to be reformat it in your camera, and then the card would work again for new pictures, but you would lose anything that's on there now.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I don't want to do.
Right.
Okay.
Give me a shot.
I can go back. If they appeared at some time on the screen, can I go back?
With rolling back the system?
That's right.
No, because unfortunately what just appears on the screen is not saved anywhere. And if you didn't copy them to the hard drive somewhere, then no, you can't get them back. You can try, like I said, try those programs, and that's
your best bet.
Sorry.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
That's
a real problem that we're finding now, is that it doesn't matter what operating system you have. Even though they say, it's hot pluggable, you still have to be careful when you're pulling in and out those little chip things, because if the thing is open on the desktop, the files are open, and if the files are open, they will probably be corrupted.
Right.
You
have
pull
to tell the computer to eject the disk so that...
Well, that's why I always first take any of the pictures that are on my little disk and first move them over to my hard drive.
Copy them to the hard drive so you always have a second copy.
Yeah, just move them over there, and then from there work with them. Don't work with them on the card.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I say, if you accidentally eject it or anything else.
There's also the fact that it's bound to be faster off the hard drive anyway.
Yep.
All right, our next caller is Peggy from Livonia, New York. Welcome, Peggy. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
I run a Windows 98, and I have two young boys that also... are on the computer, and this is kind of what's happening right now. When I've already ran Adware, and I've already ran SpyBot, and found quite a few things that I had to remove.
Mm-hmm.
When I get on Explore, I can hear, and I can also see a quick pop-up on the screen, but I can hear a program running. And when I hit Control-Alt-Delete, I get this message that says, WNSINTCC, not responding. And I click on End Task, and it goes away. Sometimes I have to click on End Task a couple of times, and then it goes away. But every time I boot the computer up, this is what I'm getting. What is this? Do you have any idea?
Hold on one moment.
Have you tried running Adware and SpyBot in safe mode?
No.
That's sometimes necessary. A lot of the spy programs won't be able to delete when the system is running in full mode.
In safe mode.
Yeah.
Is there something that I press that says safe mode? Because all I've really been doing is just hit, you know, scan
right.
now.
When you boot the computer, after the memory counts up and before the Windows logo.
Keep hitting F8.
Hit the F8 key. You might have to bang it away several times,
yeah.
And a menu will come up saying normal mode or safe mode.
Yeah, option 3 is safe mode.
Okay.
Yeah, and that may be what's necessary. I'm not finding exactly what this may be. AdAware theoretically will get this,
but if
you've got the newest version. But again, you may have to run it
in safe mode.
Yeah.
Okay.
This program apparently comes with Grokster and a couple of those other music download programs.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would be my 13-year-old.
I was going to say, if they're into any of that Kazaa or any of that other stuff, Kazaa is notorious for putting a lot of spyware and worms and everything else on your machine.
Yep.
Okay.
Sorry,
thanks,
Peggy.
Lot, guys.
Thanks.
Right.
We're going to take a quick break. Back in a couple minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Radio 1180 WHAM. This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Yes, it's true. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller is Kurt from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Kurt. What do you think you're doing over there? This is...
He's got to go take readings.
I know that, but you got to put the phone call up first, don't you? Okay, our next caller is Kurt from Pittsford, New York.
Thanks. A great show.
Thank you.
My computer has turned out to be an enemy combatant.
An enemy combatant. It's like Guantanamo Bay now?
No, it's right here in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
And it made all the content of my Outlook program, including my address book, send mail, and inbox, disappear. And it then continued from sometime last week to function normally.
What? You got all your stuff back, or...?
No. It kept future in mail and kept future sent mail,
mm-hmm.
And I haven't tried an address book.
It's possible that there was either some sort of directory corruption that lost the files, or you got a bad virus that deleted the files.
Yeah.
Well, I have MacAV, and it gets automatically updated several times a week. And I also ran a virus scan, and I didn't see anything.
Did you by any chance make a new identity? One of the features in Outlook is that several people can use the program and each have their own private mail.
Yeah.
And that's done in the identity command. So if you accidentally made a new identity, then it would look like your mailbox was empty. There should be a switch identity command in, I think, the file menu. You might be able to switch the identities and find your old mail.
I go in Outlook to the file menu.
Mm-hmm. I think it's in the file menu. It's called switch identity or change identity,
yeah.
Something like that.
Switch identity. My computer also crashes from time to time, and sometimes I can only restart it if I take the battery out and disconnect also the power line.
What OS are you running? Windows XP
98 second edition.
And you're all right. I know you said you're running McAfee. Now you do periodically check to make sure that it is doing the updates. That you know when you start the McAfee, it states that you know your data files are only a couple days old.
An icon comes up, and that comes up several times.
But that's not what I'm asking. What I'm saying is when you start McAfee up. Mm-hmm. You know, excuse me. It'll open up and it'll, there's a line there that says your DAT files are so many days old. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of folks, and I had three clients this week alone sit there and say, oh, it automatically updates, so I don't have to worry about it. I went in and checked, and I mean, their subscription had run out. Yes, it was scanning, no problem, but the DAT files were on an average of a year to a year and a half old. So you definitely want to make sure that when you start McAfee up, that the DAT files are current. Because if the CLES virus got in there, it would stop and disable your McAfee. It might look like it's scanning, but it ain't doing zip.
Okay, so basically, you just want to open your antivirus program, either McAfee or Norton or whatever, every now and then, and make sure that the updates are actually taking place.
Okay.
On the other hand, though, if you said that... the system crashed while you were running it? Did you say that?
It sometimes crashes when I'm running, but not just immediately prior to my discovery of the disappearance of the file.
Okay, because I was going to say that it might be that the problem was, again, as with our previous caller, there was a damaged book. You might have damaged the files, corrupted the files, and that you'd have to. What version of Outlook are you running?
What version of Outlook?
6, 5? XP?
2000.
I don't know if it's in 2000. Because I know there's an inbox repair tool, but I don't know if 2000 has it. I apologize. I don't
it's
run
in the, I think it's in the tools menu of Outlook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there somebody in Rochester who does data recovery?
No. But data recovery usually costs a couple thousand dollars per hard drive.
What type of data you want to get off of there?
Well, I'm particularly interested in my address book.
Tell you what, if you give our shop a call Monday through Friday, it's Enright PC. We're at 70 Empire Boulevard. And Enright PC, and we'll take a stab. It'll only cost you $30 plus tax just for us to give a stab at it.
Yeah, depending on how badly damaged the data is.
What is your phone number?
442-4843. We're at 70.
442-4843.
Yep.
And wait a second, 442-4843.
Yep, you got it. Yep. Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
There are commercial data recovery services that they basically take your hard drive into a clean room in spacesuits, take it apart, and look at it literally bit by bit to get your data back. But as I said, that can cost several thousand dollars.
On a different computer, I have a different problem. I'm trying to save a Word file, which is only 68K, about 20-page document, and the hard disk has plenty of space, and I've also tried a floppy disk with plenty of space.
What error message do you get?
I get the file is too large.
If you're embedding fonts and you've had multiple fonts, or if there's a picture in it.
There's no picture in it, and the file itself, when I recover it, from the disk, I previously could save it. It says it's 68K.
You might want to do a save as instead of a save and give it a new name.
That's what I did.
And it still says it's too large.
Yes.
Listen, Kurt, we're going to have to take a look into this, and I apologize. We've got to take a break. We'll take a look at that, and as we find an answer, we'll post it in the forums. But we have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Joe from Buffalo is on the phone. Hey, Joe, what do you know?
Hi. I got a couple things, if I might.
Quickly.
First one is I used to build NT4 servers, and we always used to take the administrator account and rename it to, you know, kind of make it a little harder to hack. Now, right. Recently with XP, I tried to do that on an XP professional system, and up pops this warning, do you really want to do that? You could, like, really screw up things. And I was wondering, what are the implications of renaming the administrator account?
The implications are that you will forget the name.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's about
it. Yeah, basically the reality is you should always rename the administrator account, because you're right, there are two things. There's the username and there's the password. That's the only security on the system. So if you leave one to be what everybody figures it'll be, then the other one, you only have to guess one.
Right.
And there are brute force crackers on Windows that'll get you in within 12 seconds.
Yeah.
It tries every possible combination of letters.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is more of a kind of nifty thing you might want to have your listeners check out, and that is you can get much cheaper phone service by using voice over IP. I'm talking to you on it right now. The quality of it's a lot like a cell phone, so most people don't mind.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we've talked about it in the past. Vonage is one of the big companies.
Voice over IP means, for all you folks who don't know, it just you essentially get a box that you plug into your broadband service, whatever it may happen to be, and then you can make your phone calls through that. It can be significantly less expensive, but of course there's two things. One, if the power goes out, the phone goes out.
Yeah.
And two, you're stuck with that one box.
Right. Time Warner locally has their Line Runner program that's voice over IP.
Same idea. Yeah, it's a great thing. And as you can hear from Joe, it's a pretty decent quality.
The other caveat is that E911 service doesn't quite work, so you still have to dial, like, explicitly the fire department or the police department, because think about it. You could take your box from Rochester, where you guys are, over to here in Buffalo and visit me, and if you dialed 911, gosh, they're going to show up your house and figure, what the heck happened?
Yeah, right. So you do have to do that. But you're right. In terms of a lot of people are finding a lot of people are dumping their landlines for cell phones, and they're finding that a voice over IP with a cell phone makes a decent combination.
Yes, I agree.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent signal. You can hear from listening to Joe that it's a clean... it's a pretty clean signal. Now, that depends, you know, on the days when the latest version of Quake comes out or the latest antivirus software comes out, signal will degrade a little bit.
Well, voice doesn't take much, and that's one of the points behind it. It doesn't take much bandwidth for voice.
That's why it sometimes sounds like a cell phone. It occasionally skips a beat once in a while. And some of the providers allow you to use different what they call codecs, so that you can take varying amounts of bandwidth. You can trade off voice quality for bandwidth usage.
Yep. Thanks, Joe. That's a great demonstration of voice over IP, or VOIP, or VoIP, as they call it. Well, I'm afraid we're actually done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. We will be back here next Saturday at some time or other. Check the schedule, check the website, and we'll let you know. For Dave Enright, for Steve Ray, for Rob Linton, and for me, Nick Francesco, I want to thank you all. This is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.